70s, you know. So as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, let's remember the services today, that the Lord will be with us and bless us, that the Lord will touch hearts, save lives. We live in a world today that myself, as old as I am, I've never thought a whole lot about it, but I never thought I'd ever see things going on and occurring as they are in this day and time in which we live. If there's ever been a time when we need the Lord, it's today. If it's ever been a time when we need to pray, it's today. I don't know as I could make it without starting my day out every day, inviting the Lord to touch my life and to lead me, as the Word tells us in Proverbs, that we would acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. What would He do? He said, I would direct your path. Well, now, God don't lead you down no wrong path. Whenever, if you put yourself in the hands of God, everything is going to go better. I'm not saying you ain't going to have problems. You ain't going to have troubles. But, Lord, there ain't nothing like facing your problems and your troubles with some help, is there? If you have to depend on the Lord for it, just ask Him. The Bible said you have not because you ask not. So let's look at the Lord this morning in prayer and invite God into the service today to bless our hearts and our lives. Almighty God, we bow in your presence this morning with thanksgiving, thanking you, Lord, for this day, which is a day that you have made and created for us to rejoice in your name and to rest and to refresh our soul, our spirit, and body. So we've come before you this morning, inviting you into this service, O God. Touch every heart, every life. Meet every need, O God, today that is here. And those, O Lord, that are not able to be with us, those outspoken requests, you know who they are. You know where they are. You know their circumstances. We don't. But we lay it in your hands, O God, today, and leave it with you, asking you, Father, today, that your mercy and grace rain down upon us. And then this service this day, throughout the day, bless the church, bless services to save the lost, heal the sick, deliver them all that's bound, O God, or oppressed, and use us, Father, to your glory and honor today. And all that we undertake and endeavor to do, may we do it all to your glory. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your lesson today and you want to turn, we're going to be studying from three different chapters of the book of Hebrews again, starting in the fourth chapter of Hebrews and going down through the sixth chapter. All of this today that we're studying about is concerning our compassionate high priest. Now, the compassionate part, you know, has a reference to Jesus Christ. Man has a certain amount of compassion, but have you ever thought about what the compassion of the whole world would be like? You see, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he bore all our burdens for the past, the present, and the future, that we wouldn't have to bear them, but we could let him help us through them and to care for us in his own way if we would allow him to do so. But the Bible, the lesson that we're studying about today is concerning the difference between the early high priest in the Old Testament. They did the same thing that they have always done. And, of course, I didn't realize and didn't know it till I read and studied the lesson here, that the Jewish people, after that the Romans destroyed the temple, that they did not use priests and offer sacrifices anymore to God. They don't do it till this day. They did it up until then, but the order by Moses was that the only place it could be done was in the tabernacle. Well, the Romans destroyed the tabernacle in AD and 63 and 64, and in AD and 70, the Jews had completely relented and give up worshiping God by offering animal sacrifices and using priests to order their services. In fact, to the matter, As of yet to this very day, not many of them have yet received the idea that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world. And that's still one of their biggest problems. If you don't accept Christ, there's no use you to even worry about reading and studying the Bible, because you're saved by grace through Christ, who gave His life on Calvary as a sacrifice for all of our sins, past, present, and future. So, we read today in the lesson, beginning in the 4th chapter, 14th verse, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens." Now, you know, the high priest of the early Old Testament didn't get any farther than the tabernacle, and there was at that time when they built the tabernacle, they built it in order that they used a regular priest and the high priest. The regular priest was not anointed to be the high priest, so therefore he could not offer sacrifices. Only the high priest. And the only time that the high priest could do that was once a year. Once a year, all of the sacrificial offerings that had been brought by people and given to the priest and left their prayer, or left their problems with him, really, he would take the sacrifice and slayed them, and the blood from it was carried in and offered to God on the altar once a year for all the sins of Israel. That pleased a lot of people today, you know that? Because they don't care about going to church just once in a while. And it's amazing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And He tells us in the Word of God for us not to do that, not forsake yourself of assembling in the house of God. So we're glad today that you've decided to come and be with us. But He said that the high priest that has passed into the heavens, having reference to Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Our profession of what? Of our faith in Him. And His deity. He is the Son of God. He is our propitiation. The Bible said He is our advocate. What is an advocate? Well, if you go to court, we can use it in a terminology that is more modern, and we could say a lawyer. Jesus today, the Bible said, sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. When we pray, God said, if you pray and ask anything in Jesus' name. Now, you read it in the Scripture. Ask anything in Jesus' name, He will do it. You don't ask God to do it. You ask God through Jesus to do it. And Jesus being our advocate to the Father, sitting at the right hand, I guess has a little discussion with the Father as to whether or not we are fit to have it, or we are subject to have it or not. So being faithful, being obedient has its rewards. If the Lord and God was no faithful to people, and people are to Him, I don't know what would happen. I don't even want to be around to find out either. Because we know today that our life and our freedom and everything depends upon the mercy and the grace of God. So, He said here, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched." How do you touch Him? You can't reach Him with your hand. But your voice. Do you ever think about how far your voice can travel? God is not so far away, and not His ears are not dull that He cannot hear. God can hear you whenever and wherever you cry out. But if you don't never cry out, What do you expect to get from God? Give nothing, get nothing. God answers prayer. He does not give us what we want. He said, I know what your needs are before you ever ask. You can't fool God. God has an all-seeing eye. He doesn't miss a thing. Keeps a complete record. And one day, that record, we will face it in the judgment, just like we would if we were arrested and had a warrant served against us for some crime, and you went to court, you would open up before the judge, and the judge or the somebody in the court would read out the accusation or the offense that you were guilty of. And then there would be a time of conversing and arguing or whatever you want to call it between counselors, and one trying to prove he's guilty, the other trying to prove he's innocent. But you see, we don't have to prove that to God. God already knows. God knows exactly where we stand. God knows exactly what we think. And we cannot escape our deeds that we do in this life. For that's what we are going to be judged by when we stand before God in the judgment seat. But he said here, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. Well, do you ever stop to think about what Christ suffered and went through before he left this earth? Had the death of the cross been the ultimate of it, that was bad enough. But you have to go back then into the book of, book of Isaiah. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. And let's see what he says. Sure. Well, I'll find you here directly. Here I am. Isaiah 53. Listen to this. If you want to follow in the Bible, turn to Isaiah 53, chapter 3. He is despised and rejected. By whom? By his people. A man, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And when we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But he was wounded, surely he had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Now think about all of that. You would wonder how that the human body could stand under all of that. But you have to go all the way back, even into the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus carried Peter, John, and his Bible into the Garden of Eden, and he went there before he was carried to the Pilate's hall to be judged, and prayed, and his prayer was, Lord, if it can be your will, let this cup pass from me. He knew what he was going to have to bear. And it wasn't pleasant. But he finally, in the end, he accepted the fact that this was God's way. This was why he came to this earth. Jesus didn't come to this earth just to walk around and become a known figure and an advocate of God. He came to this world to give his life, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And if you don't have that today, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. You know, if I guess I'd like everybody else just to go to, when we got to get down to pray, first thing we thought about was praying and asking God for all the things that we ain't got that we'd like to have or wanted, not necessarily needed. And we didn't seem to ever get anywhere. And you won't. God knows your needs, so why bother to remind him of them? But God wants us to recognize Him as who He is. He is our supreme being, the only one that can reach down through the time and eternity and help us in anything that we need to be helped with. But it all depends on us. What we want. More of the world? More of the goods of the world? A new home? A new car? Oh, new clothes? Whatever. You'll be surprised what some people spend their time wasting asking God for. God knows that whether they need it or not. And if you don't need it, God's not going to bother with it. Now, that's not being mean or hateful, but you've raised children. I've raised children. You treated them the same way. You knew what they needed, and if they needed it, and it was a worthy cause, you provided it. If they didn't need it, you didn't pay too much attention, did you? You just went on about your business. Well, why shouldn't God do the same? But he said here, for he was wounded for our transgressions. What is transgressions? He that transgresseth the word of God committeth sin, the Bible said. So that's what transgressions are, open sin. He was bruised for our iniquities, our problem. While how we live, how we act. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Think about that. He was wounded, the Bible said, for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace all was placed upon him. Who? Our high priest of God. That's how God knows what we have need of. And whenever we get in touch with him, he has a feeling of our infirmities. And he's able to give us whatever we need or whatever we deserve at the time maybe that we are speaking about it. And God doesn't even work by our timetable. God, we may pray for something today and it may not occur for a long while. We find in the Bible that he prayed for 21 days before, Daniel, I believe it was, they prayed for 21 days before God ever heard his prayer. Well, that's 3 weeks. Most time people just give up, forget about it, and go on about their business, wouldn't they? If it was possible. But God doesn't work with our timetable. He works by his own. And he said, and we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity or our sins on all of us. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers. As dumb so, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison, from judgment. And whom shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Now, God's the scripture here is having reference basically to talking about his people was the Jews, or the Jews are God's primary people, chosen people. But we were engrafted into the family of God as adopted children whenever we received Christ as our Savior. Here again he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Now, do you have your private place of prayer? Jesus tells us in the Word of God, he said, when you pray, that's what he told them. He said, now when you pray, enter in your closet and shut the door and pray in this manner. And that's where we get the Lord's Prayer from. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us, Father, of our debts. As we forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Hey, how about that? That pretty much covers the whole aspect of our life. Did you know that? If you break it down by every sentence that he gave us and think about it, yeah, pretty much covers everything. But anyhow, we know that God understands. Let us therefore come boldly. How? Boldly? He tells in the Word of God for us to come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petition known to him. If we have a need, we don't have to mealy mouth around. We don't have to get out on our knees and crawl around and beg God to do it. God hears what he wants to hear. And God hears you when you cry out with all your heart, believing in your heart, doubting not. And ask whatever you will from God, and he will do it. That's what the Bible said, if we ask in Jesus' name. So here, he said, if we need have a need, let us come before the mercy throne, and that we are the mercy seat, that we might obtain mercy and grace from God, who giveth it. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor from God. We are saved by faith through grace. You know, God, whenever that he created humanity, humanity was immune to all the earthly problems that came forth by sin. Sin is a destructive thing, and people don't realize it. But we'll get onto that a little bit here if we have time. I know time is swiftly getting away. And I get too much carried away with some of the things. He's here. Let's drop into the fifth verse right quick. All right, our fifth chapter of first verse. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. That's why the children of Israel, that's the only way that they had to communicate with God. You remember the first temple that God informed Moses to make, gave him those instructions, and it was made, and they made they built the temple, they made the Ark of the Covenant, and they put the Ten Commandments in them, and wherever the children of Israel went, they carried that Ark with care. And it wasn't even allowed to be touched by an individual. You remember the story in the Bible where they were moving the ark back to Jerusalem from the Philistines that had took it away from them, and how that one of the men that were walking along beside of it, they somehow or another, it got seemingly shook or out of balance, and he reached up and touched it. You know what happened? He died immediately. You say, well, that seems unfair. They knew what they were doing. God never left them unknowing. God never leaves us blind or dumb. If you want to find out about God and what God wants you to do, hey, here it is, every bit of it. I don't think he left out one word. I don't think that he slighted it one bit in the world. I think it's all written right here. All you have to do is read it and pray that God give you understanding, because some of it is very difficult for us to understand. Well, let's say, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, such as they were in the Old Testament, often sacrifices with the animal's blood. He said that that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Now, Jesus is the only one that can do that. Jesus died for our sins, and he forgives us of our sins. So, whenever that we have a need, we use Jesus as our communicator or our advocate. And not only is he an advocate, but the Bible said he is our propitiation. Well, what does that word propitiation reference to? Well, in Greek or others, it reference to whatever a sacrifice that we may have to may have had to offer if we had to go the route that they did in the Old Testament. But Jesus being made our propitiation, we don't have to do that. His blood was offered for us as our propitiation to cover our sins, so we don't have to go for that. Even though the Bible teaches us in the Word of God that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, that goes back to what happened to Jesus on the cross. You remember how that whenever they were hung people on the cross, they did one of two things. They either took a stick and walked by them when they thought that they had passed on and life was gone, and they would whack them on their legs and break their legs. Or they would take a spear and ram it into their side and allow blood and water to flow as it did with Christ. And the Bible had already indicated in the Old Testament that in the Psalms that there was not a bone in his body that was broken. Well, that's the reason that you have that. It didn't. It occurred that way. The Roman soldiers, when they walked by Christ and him hanging on Calvary, they looked at him and one of them just decided to take the spear and wrap it in his side and open up Emmanuel's vein. Remember that song? The blood flows from Emmanuel's veins. So let's read. Have a look at Romans, if you would. 3. Let's see what we got here. I can find it right quick. Yeah, Romans 3. Let me read that, certainly. He said, "For if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make their faith of God?" Now, this is starting with the third verse. "For if some did not believe, how shall they believe and make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." And then we'll go over to let's go down to verse. Let's look at 14. Boy, the reason I haven't said that, this is pretty much a picture of the time that we're living in. Verse 14, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Now, what do you think? When you look at the news, read the paper, or hear the radio, what do you think? Do you think that that's pretty much surmises the heart and the life of this world that we're living in today? They assume to shoot you nowadays is to look at you. And if you, there's some people that I'll go around. I think all they're going to do is go around looking for somebody to get in trouble with. So God is telling us here in the Word that he said, let me go back and read the verse before that. He said, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips." under their lips. There are who, and that ends that verse. But let's go to one other place here, and we'll move on. He said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God." In other words, this propitiation that he has had reference to is in the definition or the interpretation of that gives us in the scripture is a substitution or forgiveness of our sins. So Jesus bore all of our sins on the cross of Calvary, and I got another person, I'll get to it here in a second. And he said, and no man taketh this honor upon himself that he is called of God, but as was Aaron. Aaron was, if you remember, was the first priest. But that was ordained by God. So he said, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. God ordained him, his son, to be the high priest, as he, God, had ordained Moses, or Aaron, the brother of Moses, to be the first priest that was among Israel that we know of. He said, as he saith unto another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who is in the days of his flesh, supplication with strong crying, and tears unto them that are, or to him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. let me see. Go back over here to me. Where we can find this, maybe, right quick. Bible tells us here that, that's not the right one. Got so many places I don't, it's hard to keep up with them here. I know. I go in front of it and back of it. I'll get it in a minute. Here. Now we're getting close. Matthew 26. Let's see what this Matthew 26. Let me see here. In 39. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed and he said, oh, my Father, it is possible. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. What could ye not but watch for me but 1 hour? Which watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit need is spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's what we want to get to. Watch and pray that ye do what? Enter not. Watch and pray. That word pray comes out loud. Watch for what? Well, you know, if you walk around with your eyes shut, you're bound to run into something sooner or later, and you ain't going to like it when you hit it. Well, it's the same way with having the eyes of your heart closed. If you're not wide awake in your heart, you're going to be in trouble because you don't know when you're going to face it or where it's going to meet you at. Because it's a looking for you. You don't have to look for it. This world is so full of sin. You think Adam and Eve being deceived in the Garden of Eden was bad? Oh, I'm telling you, Adam and Eve had it easy. In this world and today, if you really stop and think about what's going on, a sin on every hand, everywhere you look. It's got the word. My wife found this after me a lot of times, sitting with a remote in my hand on the TV. If I don't like what it says, I find me another station right quick. And a lot of times, if I don't like what they're saying, I'll just hit the mute button. Now you say you're a particular. Yeah, I am. It pays off. I don't have to worry too much about it. He said, and he went away again, saying, oh, that's speaking of Jesus. I'm not going to read that one there. He said, but when the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we to witness? Behold, how that he heard the blasphemy. Now, that was during the time of Jesus' trial and crucifixion. Whenever he had been tried by Pharaoh, and he went out before the crowd, and he made his announcement, and he asked the crowd, what would you like for me to do with Jesus? If you were asked that question of the day, what are you doing with Jesus? How would you answer that question? He said, what think they? And he answered, and he said, he's guilty of death. Then did they spit in the face and buffeted him. Again, here's something else that he bore. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him, and others smote him with the palm of their hand, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is it that smote thee? Oh, when you read and study the scripture and you find all these places where all of this stuff happened, for a why? For you and I? It was for a purpose. It had its purpose. And it's still here today, but it won't be forever. The Bible tells us that God one day is going to shut down. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. In other words, according to what I gather from that scripture, God doesn't just knock on your heart's door once or twice and say, hey, you're invited to come in. How about coming and kneel and let's pray and be saved and go off and leave you? The Bible said, according to this, God works diligently. But there will come a time whenever we send our day of grace away. We can turn him away just so long. And then there'll come a time whenever there is no more calling. Come home. Yeah. Okay. Let's go on here. And he goes on to say, he said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So we done read concerning those things that he suffered, so we're not going to reread them. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though through we thus speak. For God is not under and righteous to forget your works and labors of love, which you have shown forth his name in that you have ministered to the saints to do ministry. And we desire that every one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but follower on from them from through faith and patience and inherit the promise. Now, we know that there's all, for as long as I can remember, and probably with you too, there's always been a question about eternal security. Once saved, always saved, never lost. Well, I got news for you. If you read the Bible and study the Bible, you won't have to be asking those questions, because it's answered for you in the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to read, and we'll start here and finish up here too, because our time's almost gone. In the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, if you have your Bible, want to look at it, 4th verse. Behold, all souls are mine. There's no escaping God. You might divorce your wife. You might disband your children. You might go to the woods and want to be a hermit or whatever and get away from everybody, but you can't escape God. He's everywhere. And he said, all souls are mine. The souls of the Father, also the sons of the Son, is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That plain and simple, ain't it? But let's go on over to verses 23. Have I any pleasure at all in the wicked, that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Now, how do you return to something if you ain't never been there? I can go home when I leave from here, because I've been there before. He said, but when the righteous turn away, listen now, when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that he, that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All of his righteousness that he hath done, past tense, hath done, shall not be mentioned in the trespasses that he hath trespassed, and in the sins that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Now, if you can find eternal security in that, please help me. I've been reading the Bible and studying it for 60 years or plus, and I haven't found anything yet to compare or that come close to define that or working it down. He said, when the righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and die in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. And again, the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul. But you've got to come back to God. Once saved, always saved. You better not try to put that in the bank because it'll bounce. It won't be any good. Okay. I've got almost 9:15 till quitting time. All right. Seeing that God knows everything about everything, and the same is true of the Son of God, Jesus Christ did not have to become a human so that he would know and understand everything about human experience. But what we have read to you in the scriptures teaches us that all that he went through that he may know what it's like to be a human being. Until that, and if he had not, how would he know what our pain, our sufferings, our sickness would be like? So, knowing that he went through all that he went through that we've read in the scriptures, he did it that he may know exactly what you and I as human beings are faced with in this life. But you know, God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, although I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And as long as God is with you, you have that supreme help. You can gather strength, you can get help in the time of trouble. For that is exactly what God has commissioned us to do in the Word. He said this, the incarnation was not for Christ's sake, it was for our sake. So he could come to know God's love and empathy, sympathy and compassion toward us regarding the human life. So I'll have to quit on that one. Thank you for coming. And from putting up with me, God bless you. Stay for the 11 o'clock service.